I brought my suitcase with me today. Suitcases are very useful when you've got loads of stuff. They're also useful because they represent journeys, don't they? Journeys are always, well, normally quite exciting, especially if they're holiday journeys. I wonder who's going on holiday this coming bank holiday weekend. I know my daughter isn't going anywhere because she's writing exams like some of the people sitting here. They're also writing exams, so it's not so nice to be going away when you're trying to revise. Or maybe it's nice, but maybe it's not quite the right time. So I was hoping to interview Jo Langthorne because she is our representative for the Church of England Youth Council. But I think we'll talk about that another time. So today we're thinking particularly about calling, vocation. Vocation actually comes from a Latin word, which is vocare, which simply means to call. And so a vocation is a calling to what? So I'm going to talk about three things, really. One is, what is vocation? Two is, how do we find our vocation? And the third thing is a little bit of a personal testimony about some of the things that God has prompted me and nudged me, I like the word nudge, nudged me into in my life. So vocation, I've already defined vocation. Sometimes people think that vocation is just to do with what you do in church. No, it's not. A vocation in life is something that you do that you feel quite strongly about, quite passionately about, and that you give a lot of your time and life to, and thought to as well. So you can have a vocation in employment. You can have a vocation in working with people on a voluntary basis, so for example with older people with different special needs, people who go to the hospital, who are chaplains in the hospital. There's all sorts of different types of vocation. Obviously in the church, there's a whole range of vocations as well. And so when you think of the Church of England in particular, there's like two streams of vocation. So you might think, well, actually, I want to serve God. I want to give something of my life to God in a certain capacity. Now, obviously, we've had a wonderful thing, Try Something New here, we've had all sorts of different things to think about trying new. Robert's been helping us with this. Today, we've got a slightly different-looking board because today we've got the different ministries, but underneath are listed all the names of the people who are doing those ministries and who feel like that's something that God has called them to do. So that is a kind of vocation. Now that might change depending on your time of life or your particular interest. The Church of England also considers two streams of vocation. One would be an ordained stream. So obviously Ian and myself are ordained. But we are at different stages, so I'm ordained a deacon. I'm not ordained a priest yet. I'm going to be ordained a priest in July. I'm hoping that some of you will come for that ordination. That would be brilliant. But you can also be licensed by the bishop to do different things. So we've got somebody who's licensed. I don't think she's here today. Helen has been licensed by the bishop for pastoral care. Now, you could be licensed by the bishop to do evangelism in the church and in the community, or to do something like youth work, children's work in the community. There's different types of lay ministers depending on what you feel you're called to. You don't have to have the bishop laying hands on you either, because it might be that you're doing that because you can't help doing it because you're so enthusiastic about it. So young people's work has been something that I've always been involved in. So I'm going to open my suitcase now, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the callings that God has put on my life. So first of all, the journey started long ago with family and with being born in a certain country. So I was born in, actually, Malawi, but grew up in Zimbabwe. And when I was born, I was christened or baptized, given a little Bible and a prayer book. And at that time, obviously, like everybody, I was baptized with water in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And my parents vowed that they would bring me up in the church. So they vowed on my behalf. A lot of my primary school and secondary school years were spent, obviously, doing the stuff that you do, you know, learning, exams. But camping, this is, says it's a premium cotton pure travel sleeping liner. Absolutely brilliant for keeping you warm at night. So I didn't bring my big sleeping bag or my tent because they're a bit too big to bring. But this represents the camping in my life. One of the kinds of camping we used to do was with our family. Every school holiday, we'd go away for a week. My dad would fish, my mum would paint. We would do a mixture of both, chilling out. Have I lost my little other thing that I brought? I hope not. Ah. One of the things you need when you're camping is a torch as well. So I'd take my torch along. The torch has got more symbolic reason too, though, because one of the other ways of camping that I did was with Scripture Union. And Scripture Union used to have big youth camps that had all sorts of themes, like, you know, I would go abseiling, I'd go hiking or windsurfing, all part of Scripture Union's camps. And there would be a strong teaching going through of God's love and God's faithfulness and God's desire to walk with us in our lives. And Scripture Union's sort of, I suppose, motto or the verse that they use in the Bible that speaks of what they do was, your word, it's from Psalm 119, it's verse 105, and it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so one of the deep things that I learned through Scripture Union was that I would read the Bible every morning where possible, using Bible reading notes. So even now, I use some kind of Bible reading aid, which gives me guidance on what to read. But every morning, just spend time touching base, if you like, with my relationship with God. So Scripture Union set me off on a good path. I landed up leading camps. For a time, I volunteered and worked in Scripture Union. A very key part of my journey. When I got a bit older, you get to the point where you're trying to think what to do in life. And one of the things that I, because of my involvement in young people, I thought would be a good thing to do is to teach. So I trained as a teacher. I like this little saying. Somebody embroidered a beautiful wall hanging for me with it. And it says, to teach is to touch lives forever. And that for me was the reason why God called me into teaching, is to make a difference, sometimes a difference that you never see in people's lives. Now, I've heard lovely stories of some of the people I've taught, but most of the people I teach, I never see again. I don't know what's going on in their lives, but I know that's something that God has called me particularly to. It's a vocation. It's something I've trained for. It's something I've invested in. I started off teaching primary school. I've taught secondary school. And actually, at a certain time in my life, a time when things weren't going too well in my life, I have to say, God said to me, I'll actually talk about this first, because two crosses. This cross was made for me by my somebody in my parents' church in South Africa out of acacia wood. The acacia tree grows in the most hardy of conditions. It's got huge thorns, sometimes about that long. So it survives because it's not eaten by all the different animals that are there trying to get moisture out of trees. But also it's dense because it can't grow quickly. It has to put its roots down deep and it takes a long time to grow. Acacia wood, linked to my parents, linked to my family. This cross I love because it's been made out of a bit of oak tree, again old, but knotted oak tree, and in the middle of the knot, there's part of the cross is all scarred, is all not smoothly carved out. And the significance of that to me is that when God's calling us to different things, he sometimes calls us through pain. Jesus Christ gave his life in agony, in pain, in suffering, so that we might have a relationship with God. And quite often it's in the desert times, in the times when we're really struggling in our lives, that God will prompt us, will have a little word to us, and will say, this is what I want you to be doing. So I had a broken engagement after I did my theology degree, and I was in a pretty sad, I wouldn't say bad, but low place. And I remember going up to Scotland to find work, because I was in this country doing my theology in London, and I didn't know what to do, because our lives had been planned together. I didn't know where to go, didn't know what was my next step. And I needed money to fly home to Zimbabwe if I was going home, or anyway, I needed money. I had no money left because I was a student. And I sat in this room, which I was paying a little bit of rent for, no job yet. And I remember sitting on my bed and saying, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And through that period of time, God led me through scripture again, but through different friends, different contacts, to go back to Zimbabwe. And part of the job that he gave me to do when I went back to Zimbabwe was to train teachers. So 2 Timothy 2, my life is full of twos, 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 says, Paul saying to Timothy, he says, I want you to train others that they might also be equipped to train others. And so the idea of getting together people who themselves would be trainers of young people. Different Bibles are significant in my life. One, the one I showed you at my birth, this one was given to me when I had my first child. My children are really deeply important to me, not only me with my parents, but them in my life. And one of the things that God did, okay, so I was in Zimbabwe, I got married, we came to England, and all the time reading God's word and journaling, writing down things that God was showing me, not necessarily every day, reading my Bible every day, sure, but not journaling every day, just every now and then. And another really difficult time, which I think I've told some of you about before, is when my eldest daughter was critically ill. And in my journal, I've got the word wrestling. And wrestling was a big part of my journey then. It was about wrestling with God. Wrestling with God for her health. Wrestling with God for a light through this really difficult time. So my Bible reading notes say this: we are called not through our various strengths alone, but also through our weaknesses. All that we have experienced can be used for the good if we are willing by God. All that we wrestle with can bring fruit to our lives. Isn't that wonderful? So during this time, God called me to begin to explore the idea of ordination. I didn't know what it would mean, didn't know what it would lead to. Well, you know what it led to. A different time in my life. My most recent Bible was given to me by the bishop, Bishop Stephen, when I was ordained a deacon. And in with this was my vow of canonical obedience, they call it, to the bishop, to the queen, but mainly to God. And there's a lovely prayer of vocation here. And it actually, I'll pray it at the end of what I have to say. But I think you can see that the whole theme of vocation, if you want God to lead you, you need to be talking to God. You need to be hearing from God. You need to be listening to God. You need to be allowing God to touch your life, to nudge you through different people. He doesn't do it quickly. He doesn't always do it happily. He sometimes does it in great joy and great celebration. But often it's through tough times. Often, like Jacob, it involves wrestling through something. And yet he brings you through to a different place of service, a different place of giving. So the question I want to leave with you is God nudging you towards something different? Is he nudging you, perhaps, towards a lay ministry as an administrator, a lay ministry as a counselor or carer or pastoral minister, a lay ministry towards something different, or ordained ministry? Take time to explore your vocation. How do you do that? Reading your Bible, talking to those who know you best, having conversations with Ian and I, and then possibly having conversations with the director of Ordinands in Chelmsford Diocese. There's a great course, and I'm going to finish with just telling you a few details of this course. There's a great course called Share. No, Shape. Thank you, Ian. Shape is something that's been devised by actually a fantastic lady called Elizabeth Jordan for Chelmsford Diocese, and it's an acronym. S stands for spiritual gifts. Shape is a course that enables you to explore your spiritual gifts, God's unique gift to you. H stands for heart's desire. What really gets you going? What really motivates you? What really stimulates you? A stands for your abilities. The natural things you've got that you find easy to do that you don't know about necessarily, but your friend does. Your talents, your knowledge, your skills. P, your personality. What kind of person are you? Are you the compassionate type? Are you the analytical type? What kind of person are you? And then the final one, which I've just lost, is E, experience. What kind of experiences has God given you in your life that you might be able to use in this new vocation? So I'm not finished with being a mother. That's a vocation. I'm not finished with being a wife. That's a vocation. I'm not finished with being a teacher. That's a vocation. I'm not finished with serving. That's a vocation. I'm not finished with being an ordained deacon or priest. Those things are vocations. God gives you things that he uses at different parts of his life, of your lives. So let's pray this prayer. And if you're feeling like God is saying something to you about vocations, then do come and seek prayer after the service. Think about what it might be that God would be saying. Let's just pray this prayer together then. Our Father, God our Father, Lord of all the world, through your Son, you have called us into fellowship of your universal church. Hear our prayer for your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry, each may be an instrument of your love, and give to your servants, now to be ordained, the needful gift of grace through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I know you're not going to be ordained, but that's still a wonderful prayer for anybody who's been called to any kind of secular or church vocation. Thank you.